Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome back to the Voices of the Modern Heathens. Today, we are going to try something new. I'm going to record this podcast live on Facebook to my kindred. Our guest today is everyone who has emailed me a question over the past couple months. And all of our followers who are joining me live tonight will have an opportunity to ask any questions they want in the second portion. Kind of maybe trip me up and we can have some fun with it. All right, so stay tuned. Hello, listeners, and thanks for staying tuned. My guest today is me. We'll be going through the correspondence I've received over the past couple of months. We'll do the first 10 emails, as well as any questions asked during the Facebook Live with my local kindred. I'm planning on doing this a couple times a year, or once my email fills up. I'll do my best to give a positive message and some guidance for the modern revival. Now's the time for my shout-out. We have opened an online store with Teespring called The Raven's Market, and all proceeds go right back into the podcast. We'll get back to the show right after a quick shout-out from our hosting service. Right on, we are back. So let's dive into this vault of unanswered emails, which yes, Sarah, I did receive your email. Hopefully my response got to you. I am so sorry it took me so long to respond. If you had sent me an email and it didn't make it onto the show, don't worry. I'm going to respond to them all tonight. And in one way or another, it'll get to you, whether it's on the show or by email. All right. Let's just jump right into it. Question number one. This is from Randy. Since you are out of Canada, why do you do a podcast about Vikings and or why do you want to revive it there and not in Europe? Well, Randy, I guess it's a pretty good question. For people that have just found me that are new, here's my answer. Some people don't know this, but the settlers from Iceland came to Canada and settled in. New Iceland is a name of a region on Lake Winnipeg in the Canadian province of Manitoba. Canada has a rich history of Viking settlers, explorers, but this podcast isn't just about Vikings. Actually, it has nothing really to do with the modern pop culture around Vikings. This podcast was created to help get the message about the following of a heathen path and the ups and the downs and the voices to help people through it. The people that are struggling, the people that need some guidance. That's why I started this. As for why Canada and not Europe, well, I live here. But we do have listeners in Germany, so maybe I can help out in Europe as well. So thank you for the question, Randy. Next question. Are you actually a priest or something like that? That is from Alex. Alex. Thank you for the question. So I do not call it a religion. I call it a path. But that's my choice because I feel the term religion is extremely constrictive and it doesn't allow a person to make his or her own choices because they have to follow the rules of the religion. But a path is up to you. You make your own decisions. I know that's not what you asked, Alex. So yes. I am an ordained spiritual minister. I can perform marriages, funerals, heathen rituals, and such. I use the title of Gothi or spiritual leader. I wanted this so I would have the ability for my local kindred to fulfill my role as the spiritual leader or the Gothi. And this only helps me with my role with my members to help them navigate the path that they're on. I hope, Alex, that answers your question a little bit better. Next question. Oh, I forgot to put who this was from. I am sorry. Is this Doug's question? Oh, Doug's question is... Well, this is Doug's question. One of Doug's questions. Is Locally the equivalent to the Christian devil? Good question. A lot of people say that. A lot of people are like, Loki is the devil. throughout history, Loki's always been the devil. No, Loki is not the devil. He is not, and even the devil isn't the devil that we know today. Fun fact, originally, Satan didn't even exist as we know him. In the Old Testament, there wasn't even a devil or a Satan, as it is believed that everyone, good and bad, was because of God. Not that, but most of what we consider to be connected with Satan, Lucifer, the devil, hell, whatever, doesn't actually exist in the Bible. It only exists due to translation errors, the creation of Lucifer. The translation changes the devil from the pop Christian Dante's Inferno. There's a group of beings in the Old Testament known as Ha Satan. Ha, H-A-S-A-T-A-N. And they were a group of celestial beings that would question God or point out things that were going odd on creation and bring it to God's attention. So a good example of this would be the book of Job, or Job. Oh, shoot, I lost my spot. Job was only, okay, where Ha Satan pointed out that God that Job was only faithful because God rewarded him. Because of this, God did all the things he did to Job, with Ha Satan pointing out to God various things. The actual word Satan itself means adversary or to obstruct, which is why in the Old Testament, Ha Satan isn't evil, but more of an accuser, a judge of those who have done wrong, and then God punishes them. The term Ha means the in Hebrew, or in Old Hebrew, sorry. Thus, Satan was a title. It literally meant the adversary, or the to obstruct, right? So this was a person, or not a person, sorry, a being that would show God the problems that we're having on earth. So again, remember, Satan is a title, not a person or being. So when the conversation was happening, or sorry, when the conversion was happening, it was easier to compare Loki to Ha Satan than it was to compare any other of the gods to him. So, but this was a normal tactic back then. It was the same as when they were doing the conversion, where they would take the holidays, or they would paint pictures of God looking like Odin or Zeus. This only helped the Christian conversion to assimilate or convert the Scandinavian people into Christianity. The problem is, unfortunately, that Christian baggage still lingers around today in North American heathenry. But again, Satan's role has also changed. Satan is now this evil half goat, half man, angel thing. So, yeah, Doug, I hope this answers your question, because that's the best I can do. Loki is a god. And if you tune in on February 9th, I have an amazing guest coming on, and the whole show is going to be about Loki. Now, next question. How can normal people help with what you call the heathen revival? This is from Sarah. Now, my answer to you, Sarah, is I would say, if you are a true believer and you are walking the path that you're on and you have decided for yourself, then you're already helping the cause. The one thing that can really change things is we need to become more public. Stop hiding our beliefs, get involved with the local kindred. If you can't find one, then start one. Oh, and one more thing. You need to fight for what you love. If you find people or groups that are using our symbols for hate or anything along those lines, we need to shut them down. Those groups are not representing us properly. I'm not telling you to do anything that could put yourself in danger or in harm, but we need to make sure we keep our faith positive. We need to keep our faith on the right path. We need to educate people that the ruins and other staves are not racist or hateful, but enlightening and full of positive karma. All right. Hope that answers your question, Sarah. All right. Next question is from Francis. When everyone dies, do they all go to Valhalla? Oh, yeah. All right. This question is one that a lot of modern followers have a hard time swallowing. This is one that turns a lot of people away. But by the norms set for Christianity dominated the Nordic countries, we can only make like a somewhat educated guess. So Valhalla is also known as the Hall of the Valiantly Slain, which to me gives kind of a good indication of the criteria or the, the criteria, the requirements you need. You do not have to be a warrior as such, but you do need to have fallen valiantly in battle, showing courage and valor, as well as impressing Odin for Valhalla or Freya, who she was the first, she got first choice. So, but you didn't go to Valhalla for her. So we're going to leave that one out right now. As some scholars mentioned, or if you Google it, or you look up any of the books, you could seemingly also sacrifice yourself. In the movies nowadays, that's where the one warrior runs in, but of course the movies, that's the hero, so he ends up killing everybody. Where in real life, that guy would probably be doing that to allow the rest of his war party to either reposition or move out, and he'd sacrifice himself in Odin's name, and possibly that would earn him a way in there. Or you could be sacrificed to Odin, at a guess, right? For this to be an adequate, you must have some kind of, there must be some kind of warrior. You must have done something that really showed your commitment over anybody else. There is an aspect to this that, in my mind, does not lend itself too much of the leeway concerning admittance, and that is the purpose of those who gain access to Valhalla. That is to fight in Ragnarok. If you have not shown yourself to be a capable warrior fighter, I would personally think you would not be an asset. You'd almost be a liability, hence not gaining entrance. Okay, so Francis, I know you asked two questions, so our next question is also from you. In the Norse path, how many afterlife places are there other than the famous Valhalla, and how do people need to end up there? So I had to do a lot of research to try to find a bunch of them. There are tons. As it stands, every god or goddess has a hall, and they can ask Odin before the souls get to heal in the underworld, and they can take them, and they use them for different things. Some use them as handmaidens, some use them as servants, some use them as slaves, others whatever they want. So here's the answer. The Norse didn't have a heaven or a hell. They had many of those places. They had many other places. Valhalla, the Hall of Odin, the Allfather. He had gathered those who died fighting, and they were called the Etnager. I hope I said that right. And they were destined to fight in Ragnarok, the last fight, the twilight of the gods. And then we have Folkvang, which is the Hall of Freya. And she had the right to half of those who died fighting, maidens and women. Folkvang means the battlefield in Old Norse. Her rites are a telling sign of her power in the pantheon of the gods. Freya is one of my favorite. Then you have Blingsnia, which is Thor's hall, or in Old Norse called the Lightning Crack. And he also got his part of the dead, But Thor normally went for farmers and thralls, so slaves. He would use them to help him in his hall to keep it, to keep the upkeep when he was always away. Those who drowned at sea went to Sleire, I hope I said that right, or the Hall of Ran, the goddess of storms and the drowned. She was the wife of Ægir, the god of the sea. Her hall was a lot like Odin's. All right, now we also have Hel's Hall, or the Grey Hall, a place and a person in one. To her, all those who died from sickness or old age is who went there. It wasn't a bad place. It was just a place to stay after death. The Romans believed it to be this amazing green pasture that you could create what you wanted out of it. Endless sun shining on your face, the smell of flowers, whatever gave you that peaceful inner feeling. The English took this word for hell, thus gave it a bad reputation. So another one, many families in old Europe had fallen or had, had what they would call a local thrall, or a mountain, or kjell, a hill, or gravhög, which is where their place of after death would be. This is where all the families would get buried in the same, almost like grave plot, like side by side, and they would all wait there. They would all meet there, and that would be their hall. So to me, the best destination, if you don't want endless battles and fighting or kind of being a servant, not saying to the gods that that's what they do to you, is Hel or the Grey Hall. Because consider this, that's where the deities, that's where the gods go when they are killed. Look at Baldur. And it's a place where we can be reborn from. The worst destination is Niflheim. This is where souls are sent to wait for the end of the universe. Once you are there, you lose your identity and you just become background energy, part of the next cycle. All right, Francis, I hope those two answers got your questions done. All right, so on to the next question. This is from John. Is heathenism the exact opposite of the Christian faith? Good question. Perhaps non-Judo-Christians or non-Arabic. It's funny how you ask that question. It reminds me of C.S. Lewis said something to the effect that there are really only two religions in the world, Christianity and paganism. I would argue that Christianity is merely just the fulfillment or the completion of Judaism, but that's just me. Heathen or pagan faith is an attempt by man to reach, attain, accomplish the divine. One has to do certain things, like checks off a bucket list to gain a certain vibration. You follow certain teachings, certain rituals, and a man can reach godlihood or a godlike state. You can hit that higher vibration. That is kind of what the heathen pagan faith coming from old would be. Because there are stories of men doing such great deeds that they became worshipped like gods, and then others would see them and would pray to them, not pray to them, would ask them for help and this and that. And that is kind of where we want to be. We want to be in such a community and such a following that we can hit that higher vibration. Now, Christianity declares that this to be completely impossible. Man's arms are not long enough. His will is not strong enough. He cannot possibly ascend so high or jump so far. God, therefore, conceded to descend and and through the cross bridged the gap himself, what we could not do, but had to do, he did it. So even if we had a chance, we couldn't because it was already done. So we need to play thanks. We need to get to our knees. We need to beg for forgiveness. So I'll just trail it off there, John. I am not trying to insult anybody. And again, like I always say, my opinion, just my opinion. So I wouldn't say they're complete opposites. Maybe they're opposites now, but we all started from the same point. And this is going to make a lot of Christians mad if they're listening, because the pre-Christianity was a heathen following of the ancient Semitic religion. Don't shoot the messenger. Now we got Doug S. here. How do I convert to heathenism? Oh, hold on, people there. I'm going to say hi to Laura. Hi, Laura. How do I convert to heathenism? This is a good question, Doug. Doug, there's only one thing heathens agree on. We are our deeds. So how do you convert? You do it. You just do it, simply as that. There's nothing special. Not every heathen will agree on what it is. But at least we agree that you just do it. You don't have to be modern or ancient, mainland or Icelandic, a reconstructionist or a modernist. We have tons of those people already here. And the more we are, the more heathens can be. We can always use more. We're always trying to grow. Right? So what I can say is, we're not exclusive, but we do expect you to put the Pantheon or the gods first and never use their teachings, symbols, or blessings for hate. I personally follow the teachings of Odin. I do. But I mostly walk with Bragi. We judge by seeing, period. And if you act loyal to the Aesir, the Vanir, the earthly spirits, they will walk with you on your path. All right, next question. Who is your favorite god? This is coming from Logan. All right, my answer to this one is, I don't have a favorite god per se, because our gods are more like us than a lot of people would like to admit. And they can become jealous and they can act out. So as a spiritual leader, I hold all the gods in high regard. But I do have a patron god, which I walk with. And that is Bragi. Bragi is a son of Odin and the giant Gunnlod. He is married to Iduna, the keeper of the golden apples of youth. He is a recorder of warriors' deeds in battle and the chief poet to Odin. He is greatly admired for his inspiration and eloquence with words, and considered to be very wise by the other gods. Odin refers to him as the one who knoweth everything well. Bragi is a level-headed god who has fared for the dramatic when he recites a poem or tells an epic tale to the other members of the Aesir. He is fated to die at Ragnarok. Although prophecies do not foretell how he will die. Now, most often the village storyteller is what they would call the priest of Bragi. It is his duty to preserve knowledge of the gods and the past and the passing it from generation to generation through heroic ballads and poems, or in my case, a podcast. So yes, Logan, the god I like to walk with is Bragi. I have a lot of respect for him, and he has helped me through a lot of different things in my life. So here's the last question. that I have for the pre-recorded questions, and then I will be going to the Facebook Live to read the questions that members of my kindred have asked me. So Samantha, you get our last question. What do the terms heathen and pagan mean to you? Now, to put it simple, Samantha, I have a really good proper answer that I took time with. But to me, it's people who just want to walk their own path. They're people that just want to be around like-minded others who are more worried about having the good energy and being one with nature and the gods, and not worried so much about all the other things in life that we have created through capitalism, we have created through Christianity. We like a simpler time. But here's the answer that I wrote. In their broadest definition, they mean the people who follow a non-Arabic or Abrahamic, religion. The main religions being Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. By this definition, Hinduism and Buddhism are pagan. A slightly narrower definition is a follower of any polytheistic or tribal religion. The word pagan comes from the Roman word meaning country dweller. In the Roman Empire, the city dwellers became Christians long before the rural people did. Heathen is similar and means people of the heath or home. Now, modern neo-pagan circles, heathen, is often used specifically to refer to people who practice the Norse Germanic paganism. People who practice the outside religions or paths of non-European origin often object to the terms pagan and heathen as derogatory and associate them with colonization and imperialistic attitudes. For example, Africans who practice their native religions prefer to call them the traditional African religion. The First Nations of North America do not call themselves pagans or heathens for the same reason. I personally like the term heathen. I believe it is more inclusive and welcoming, but again, this answer is my own opinion. I also get how some of those other cultures who aren't from the Indo-European pantheons would see this as derogatory, because those were the terms that their captors would throw at them. They would tell them, oh, you can't practice that. You're nothing but a dirty heathen or a dirty pagan. They took something that was good and wholesome and they made it bad. And we see that that happens all the time. And it is a very, very sad thing. So, Samantha, I hope I answered your question as best I could do. And to everybody, Samantha, Logan, Doug, John, Francis, your two questions, Sarah, the other Doug, sorry, and Doug S., Randy and Alex, thank you guys so much for your emails. It was really good hearing from you. I am actually going to do a draw for some of the swag out of the Teespring store for you guys. All you that made it onto the show are going to get an extra name put in, and then it'll probably be a coffee mug or a t-shirt. So I'll send whoever wins a message and ask them what they would like. So I am just going to say goodbye to you guys here, and then I'm going to turn to the Facebook Live and answer a few of their questions. So stay tuned. All right, we are back, and I have conversed with my kindred, and I have some questions that I am going to answer. One of the questions comes from a friend of mine from a long time, Robert. He asked me when I got on my path, and he had a follow-up question. Because he was there kind of when I was finally breaking through and actually accepting that I was on a path. The first time I had even thought of this was back in 2002. I'd always been curious of more the Roman Greek side of it. But because when you're taught this in school, you don't really get taught that they're the same. You almost, you know, they almost make it sound like they were in competition with one another. But as I grew up, and like I said, in 2002, I went overseas with the military, and we were on a patrol, and we stopped at this, like, it's a cafe. It's just a small room. We were just stopping there to get something to drink. And we walked in, and there was an old lady, and she had runes. I didn't know what they were at the time. And she had asked if I wanted to get a reading done. And my interpreter was telling me this. And I didn't really know what he was talking about. I thought, okay, just a fortune teller, probably a gypsy. So I'll play along. And she read my fortune. And she told me that I was on the right path. And that I needed to stay doing what I was doing because the powers above were going to always keep me safe. And they were watching me, and I would make something really big of myself. And I was looking at these stones, and it's like they spoke to me. And my interpreter's like, oh, he's like, this is what she said. But he's like, you know, gypsies. He's like, don't worry about it. He's like, and I thought about that for the rest of my tour. I tucked it away inside because, again, being the job that I was doing and stuff like that, I didn't want to push anything. You don't break the boundaries. You follow the rules. You do what you're told. It wasn't until years later, I was secretly still studying and still following. My wife had really got me into it. She was very spiritual, and she told me that it was okay to break the norm, to experiment, to try something else if that's what I really felt like I wanted to do. So she got me books on it. She got me little things like that. And then I met this young soldier, Robert Mackay. And he was not shy about it, not at all. His dad and him were he was a follower of the Druid path, and he was super informative. He told me things, and he got me to open up about it, things that I was super shy about because I didn't want to be different. I didn't want to break the mold, if you will. But Robert, he got me to do it. We even went to our first rune classes. We drove 2 hours to Winnipeg from the base that we were posted to sit there with a bunch of people we didn't know. And we did a rune class together, and I absolutely loved it. And it really reminded me of way back when I had that first reading. And then through that time, through knowing Robert, he told me about Gimli, Manitoba, that's where New Iceland, that was the capital of New Iceland, and they still do a Viking festival there every year. And that's where I met Nico, who is another great friend and an amazing advisor to me. The man knows everything. He's also a recreationist, and I do believe he's a Jarl for the group. And they do, like, I think it's 2 weeks. That they actually do. They live in a Viking village. They bathe in the lake. They go as close to realistic as they can. And he is a tower of a man. And when he's got his sword and his shield out there, he looks like he could be right off the battlefields with Ragnar. All right, next question. Okay. Good question. This comes from a good friend of mine, Laura. She asked a bunch of questions, so it's awesome. It's a week. Sorry, Nico just replied to me. The festival is a week long. Thank you, Nico. So back to Laura's question. What keeps me on my path? One thing I could never wrap my head around was the fact that one entity could do everything. And because it could do everything, it shouldn't have needed our absolute loyalty and groveling. Because why would something that could do everything need me to go on my knees and beg for forgiveness when I shouldn't even matter? So it never made sense, Christianity, to me. But when I got into Odinism, heathenism, I like calling it heathenism because I'm open to all the paths, it started making more sense. There were different gods for different things. It was more set for morals and deeds. You were judged on who you were and who you are, not because you were already behind the eight ball. I did not like that, and I'm glad I found this path, and it keeps me going. And it's not easy. It is not easy. Like, I have tattoos. I get asked and called names, and I have to sit there and educate these people, and that's fine with me. But what I'm getting at is, to stay on this path, you have to have thick skin and you have to want to. It's not easy. It's not a give and take with the gods. It's a give. Give, 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 and they will keep an eye out for you. All right, Laura, I hope that answered your question there. So, excellent question. Did I choose Braggy or did Braggy choose me? I believe Braggy chose me. I was always a fan, like every little boy, of Thor and Odin. Those were my gods. Those were the ones that I wanted to be. Those are the ones I wanted to emulate. But I was reading just one of the sagas and one of the stories, and Braggy came up. And so then I started looking into him. And then I had a dream, and there was nothing there. It was just me in a dark room, but I could hear his voice. And since then, I've always been a follower of Braggy. I like what he stands for. He's honorable. He's not one to quick to anger. He is one of rational thought. But when Loki had kidnapped Iduna, he was right there, ready to fight. And I'm not saying that Braggy isn't a main warrior god, but he's not. And Loki is. Loki is not just a nobody god. He is one of the powerful gods, right? I don't call him a negative name. To me, he's the god of balance. Without him, everything falls apart. So that is a major god. And he stood up to him. He even denied him entry to the Aesir's feast until Odin gave Loki permission to enter. So to me, this is a god of principle. This is a god that I can really, really get behind. And I do enjoy being a follower of his. I'm not a follower. I walk with him. So are there any gods or goddesses that I wouldn't work with? This is a tough one. Now that I have left like the combat trades in the military, I'm still in the military, but now that I left the combat trades, I don't think I would really call on Thor as much, or some of Odin's other sons, because of their quick to snap decisions, or quick to violence, or quick to fighting. I'm not in that kind of path anymore. So it's not that I don't respect them. It's not that I don't pay them honor. It's the fact that I don't believe that I'm on a path that they can actually help with without getting me into trouble. And I don't need to get in trouble. All right, next question. How does one know they are close to a god? This is a tough one because this is a personal one. You will know it by the presence, the aura, the feeling, the energy in the room. This is a good question. I've tried to explain it to others. Our gods walk with us. our gods are here. When you least expect them, they will be there. You know, there's that old saying that, you know, somebody demands Odin show himself. But what he doesn't know is a baby was born. Or he demands Freya show him beauty and a butterfly lands on his shoulder and he brushes it off. Our gods are here. Their energy, their aura are all around us. And like I said in the last questions, on this path, our job that they gave us is to find a way to that higher vibration, find that way to them. They'll be there to guide us. They'll be there to help us, but it is up to us to do it. All right, next question. Hopefully that answered your question, Robert. How do you know we're close to a god? They will let you know. What advice would you give new people on the path in regards to the gods? Should they seek out a god or wait for God to approach them? Ah, good question, Laura. I say you pick a god. Especially if you're in a certain type of job. I'll say, like, I always tell farmers, Frey. Frey is the god you want. He is a fertility god. He is the god of harvest. If you are a policeman, Frosty or Tyr, an honorable god, they will keep you safe. And a lot of the times the gods, once you start showing them favor, they'll recognize you. I had it really well explained to me of think of the gods like a big brother or a big sister. And you're like a 5-year different sibling. They will barely notice you. Not that they don't love you, not that they don't want to be there with you, but the fact is you're the younger little brother and they have bigger things to do. But once you start putting effort into them, you start walking with them, you start emulating and doing things that bring their love and honor to the surface, they will start to follow you. They will walk with you. You will find those little things that happen out of the blue. Like, you know, your tire starts going flat and you're worried. And you know what? Right around the corner, there's that gas station. There's somebody there to help you. Now, I know those are very vague examples, but good things happen to those who give good. And for us to give good to the gods, will just bring more back to you. Like I said, they're like us. We honor them. We treat them with respect. They will return it. Not every day. They will not be there to answer, you know, which cereal you should buy at the grocery store. But when you really, really need them, they will be there. Okay, I'll go to the next question. What would you tell people about the Loki of children? So this is one that I'm not going to get too much into it. I know what you're trying to get me to do, but a lot of this is going to be on the February 9th podcast. But the children of Loki have also gotten a bad rap. If we go for Fenrir, when he was a pup, when he was growing up, he was raised by Tyr. He was raised honorably. He was raised to protect Asgard. It was only when Odin saw the version of Ragnarok requiring Fenrir to be angry and to be bloodthirsty that Ragnarok would actually happen. So they bound the wolf. There's a lot of scholars. And again, this goes back to like my questions that I answered from the emails. We can only give an educated guess because a lot of the transcripts, a lot of the stones have been lost, stolen, destroyed, locked in the vault in the bottom of the Vatican. I don't know. But my personal belief is a lot of Loki's children are extremely powerful. And they are given a bad rap. Some of it comes from Christian lore that makes them look bad. Like I said, I love Fenrir. Wolves are a strong presence in our culture. And I do believe that, so like some of the others believe, that if Tyr would have been allowed to raise Fenrir, he would never have been evil. You look at Odin's horse, an amazing horse. It is what carries him through the nine realms. Another child of Loki. Look at the goddess Hel. She is one of the most powerful goddesses there. She can determine who can come back from the dead and who can't. She has the power of both good and evil. I shouldn't say evil. Let's say good and punishment. She is balance. I hate when artists will make her look extremely ugly on one side and extremely beautiful on the other, because I don't believe that. I believe she's just a goddess. And she isn't evil or deformed. She has the right and the knowledge and the power of punishment and reward. She will cast you in Nefnon if you are a soul that can't be saved and should not be reborn. Or she will give you the opportunity to reborn into the world again. The world serpent is left sleeping. It is the entire cycle of birth, rebirth, or birth, death, and rebirth. It continually pulls itself around. Only at Ragnarok is it really disturbed when Thor goes to kill it. This is a good question, Stephen. I have to be careful how I word it because I do not have the explicit on this, so I will be careful. Which god or goddess would I not want to work with, or you should avoid to work with? This is one of those ones I don't want to answer, but I will. If you are going to work with Odin, you have to be sure you do what you should. You do what you say, and you make sure you leave no room for error or misconception. For remember, Odin can see all. So if he is coming to you, he already knows the outcome. Odin knew Baldur was going to die, but he also knew by stopping Baldur from dying, he would stop Ragnarok. Just like, again, if he would have allowed Tyr to raise Fenrir, would have stopped Ragnarok. So you got to be careful. They have a destiny and they have an agenda of their own. So I think that's the answer you're looking for. And it is an honest answer. I honestly believe that, you have to be careful. You don't become the all-father, the father of the gods, the one that's been the most powerful. Well, I wouldn't say the most powerful, the one that is sitting in the high chair by not being ruthless. Okay. So those questions are the questions from people in my kindred. I will just see if there's any more. I see none, but I'd like to just give another just little call out to our podcast as support. I need your guys' support to keep this running. The listeners there, buy a t-shirt, get a cup, send an email about something to do. Whatever you can, we need to keep this thing going. I'm having a blast doing it. I hope you guys are having fun too. And like I said, February 9th, you need to tune in February 9th. It is going to be a good one. I had to really dig deep to get some information that I think she might not know, my guest, but we will see when that happens. All right. I hope you guys liked the change of pace this episode took. I want everybody to know me and what I stand for. And the easiest way to do that is for me to answer the questions so you can see where I stand. The voice of the modern heathens is growing, and I will do everything in my power to keep it moving forward. So if you enjoyed the show, please review us on whatever streaming site you're listening and support the podcast. Check out our store, donate, help us with research. send me more questions or ideas for how I can bring this path to the modern world. Be a guest or simply share the podcast. Our email and our link to the store is in the description. And remember, a simple share is worth more than you know. So please, let's keep this raven soaring. Now that we've emptied the inbox, this episode is now safely stored in the vault. As the year gets rolling, we will have new guests, more one-on-one battles of the minds, so that you, the listener, will get a real raw look at how we conduct ourselves on our modern paths. So thank you, Ravens. It's always a pleasure. And remember, where the wolf's ears are, the wolf's teeth are near. Stay with us as we travel further down the path of the Raven. A new episode is coming February 9th, and it's going to be amazing. I have the perfect guest. Now let's raise a horn to Odin. May he walk with you and yours. Hail the gods of old. Hail our ancestors. And hail to you, my listeners. Skull!